Nobody's ringing. Our taxes are up. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Happy African American Black History Month. And we're getting to the end of it. But with this show, it's Black History every week. So why don't people get more in their tax returns if they own a home, or if they're self-employed, they can get more money back or not pay as less money? What does being a business owner and a homeowner have to do with your tax?
Well, I think what we have to realize is that the income tax code, or the Internal Revenue Code, is specifically geared and it benefits people who own homes and own businesses. So it's in our best interest to have those types of entities set up for ourselves. So when we have a home and we're able to itemize, we can write off, like you said, the interest that you pay on those loans. Also, there's a specific closing cost that you can also pay off. And those become in the point in the loan origination cost will be deductible. And the personal real property taxes are deductible. And if it's a rental property, then also you get to depreciate the property. When you have business income or a business legal entity, then you can write off all of the expenses that you incur to run that business. And that would include supplies, materials that you have, also your travel back and forth, your internet, your telephone calls. So there's a number of things that you can write off. So like I said, the Internal Revenue Code was written with that in mind, that people had things that they would utilize, such as homes or businesses, it would benefit them more than anyone else.
You know, we hear about businesses that were started in home. We have Jeff Bezos, we had Bill Gates, and of course, a time he ran the business out of his home. Is there any kind of write-off that people who have businesses in their home that they can get in addition to their regular deduction?
Of course. So if you have a business and you work from your home, you can write off an office expense. So in essence, what you do with that is that you can write off part of the mortgage interest, or you could charge yourself a rent for that, and you could write off that portion of it. And also, if the house, you could use it as part as depreciation, so you could actually depreciate that office space and also all the interior things that you do to make it an office, from wall, desk, chairs, anything that makes it inviting and make it looks like an office would be writable off. It's things that you could write off.
This show is brought to you every week in and out by RHS3 Asset Funding Associates. And we're here to help you with your financial needs. We have programs that will help you buy a home. We have programs that will help you refinance a home and buy another investment property. And there was just a news article that in the month, and this is just in this D.C. area alone, 50 homes were sold for the purpose of rent in the month of January, December, and 80 homes were sold in the month of January with the purpose of rent alone. And these were hot houses rent for $5,000 a month. So the rental market is good. People need to take a look at it. And this is the Wealth Zone, 855-577-9100. And guess what? We'll be right back. Well, talking more about making money, looking at people who have done it, looking at people who've guided people to do it, to get to that next level, to get to the world. We always hear about the 2%. And then we hear about the other end of the spectrum, the 10%, the poor. But what about the people between the 11% and the 80% and the 98%? People are living good. Let's not believe all this stuff that there's the rich or poor. There's so many people in between who are living a grandiose life. If they weren't, how would there be so many cruise ships taking cruises? How would these stadiums be filling up with folks? How would these hotels continue to be built? How would all these airlines be taking people everywhere? And so on. Let's get out of our head that you're either rich or poor. There are so many people living a good life in between. And this show is about helping you to get to the point of living that good life. Now, Dr. Green, I don't have a business. I want to get a new car, and I went to the dealer, and he said I could get a new car for less than what I would pay by not buying it, but by leasing it. Is that a good idea?
Well, if you're in business, I think you have to really look at your total financial situation to see which is going to be beneficial for you. But for me, having a small business, definitely I would buy the automobile, because if you're going to be profitable in the business that you're in, you're looking for write-offs that you can maximize. And if you buy a car, you have a tax law out there, an internal revenue code that's called Section 179, which will allow you to expense that vehicle in the first year that you buy it. If you lease the car, the only thing that you could write off is the lease payments. So I would be careful to, when you're making a decision, if it's for a business, you need to make sure that you understand where you are financially with your business before you decide to lease as opposed to purchasing the vehicle.
But I don't own a business, but the car dealer tells me that I can get I wanted to buy a small car, but he says I can get a bigger car if I lease it. Is that a wise thing to do? If I don't own a business, I just want to have a bigger car to drive.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's really about whether or not you can afford. When you went to buy a smaller car, that's what you could afford. If you're going to lease, when I went to a dealer and the dealer said, hey, I can put you into this car for X amount of money under a lease. And I said, if I have to lease it, it means I can't afford to buy it. That's me. But most people are looking to keep up with the Joneses. And if you're going to keep up with the Joneses, then that's the price that you pay. But keep in mind that you have no equity in the car. So it's just like renting an apartment. As long as you're renting, you have no equity in it. Now, I can rent cheaper than I can probably buy a house for. But at the end of the day, I want equity. So in order to have equity, I need to have ownership.
That's the same. About renting and buying. Now, we talk about this thing called debt ratio, and that means nothing, but how much of your income can you use to buy, and how much of your income can you use to rent? And we're going to be talking about how much of your income you can use to buy. But if it comes down to equal, and there are guidelines that say I can use 30% of my income to rent, and I can use 30% of my income to buy. At the end of the year, which one is going to benefit me more when it comes to that? Is renting going to benefit me more, or is buying going to benefit me more?
For me, buying would be the obvious choice, because it's not only that I'm getting a deduction for the interest, I'm also getting a deduction for the real estate taxes And if I had any kind of enhancements to that house, whether there were energy credits for putting in new windows or new doors or changing the furnace or putting solar into the property, all of those things are now things that I can help the house appreciate in value. So that's why that's significant to have that. If you have just rent, at the end of the day, you walk away with a box of receipts. There's nothing else that you can do with that. What are you going to write off? Nothing. And you have no ownership. So it's not like you're going to say, I'm going to be here for the next 5 years. That's up to management to decide whether you're going to be there or not. So if you want to live that lifestyle where you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow, then maybe renting is that option for you. But for me, I want stability. So I want to know that this is my home. And when I pull into the driveway, no one's there.
When you apply for a job and you were hired, you go to HR, there's so many, what is it called, deductions, not deductions, but you can claim 2 or 3 or 4, up to 12 exemptions?
Yes, a W-4. So a W-4 is for holding allowances.
Okay, and what are you doing when you sign up with those?
What you're doing is you're telling the employer that you have either one job or you have multiple jobs, and you're saying to them, based on my anticipated income, this is how much money I want you to withhold for federal purposes and state purposes, and that's state and federal income taxes. There is also a box on those forms that says that you are exempt from tax. So a lot of people fall into that trap, or they put in 99 or something like that because they want to get most of their money back. And now at this time of year, when it's time to file the tax returns, they find themselves in a deficit and now owe a lot of money, and they're trying to figure out what can they do to keep from paying all that money. And it's really not a whole lot you can do. The only thing you can do is really get on an installment plan and pay it.
Contact Dr. Melvin Green and or Taxes R Us?
Yeah, you can reach me on the web at www.melvingreen.com, or you can reach me at melvingreen.com. That's MelvinGreene.com.
Associates. We'll be right back.